Time to welcome Wallace Chapman. Hi.
That's right. Stop cutting into my time, Jesse. You always do it.
How are you?
Always. Very well, actually. Very good. Kia ora to you. Now, the news around job cuts are pretty relentless at the moment. Doc, MB, News Hub, Ministry of Culture and Heritage just today, and the big ones are coming next week. So, Jesse, how does this compare to the market reforms of the 80s and later the global financial crisis? So we discussed that just after six on the panel. And just think about this. You're at a barbecue, you pick up a bevy, and staring back at you is a cancer warning on your can or bottle of wine. It's set to happen in Ireland in 2 years' time with a red label saying this: there is a direct link between alcohol and fatal cancers. Is that too much? Should that happen in New Zealand? So that was a big article in the New York Times on that.
I must admit, I probably assumed there already was information like that.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah.
So if you could look at a cigarette packet, yeah, big warnings, but nothing on, you know, front of centre on, say, I don't know, your Spates can or your Guinness or your Heineken.
Would really ruin the branding on a nice bottle of wine, wouldn't it?
Would it? Well, exactly.
Really cast a pall over dinner.
It really would. And the Italy's foreign minister said this is an attack on the Mediterranean diet. So it's a really... Yeah. It's a really interesting one, so we picked that up on the panel. Consent rules making it easier to build that granny flat out the back, so is it a great move or a license to build a backyard dump? And finally, it is National Pet Day today, so a homage to that dog on the back of the ute, the cat on your lap right now as you play bridge, your kids... or any other game.
Yeah.
You know, not it doesn't have to be bridge. Or your kid's hamster...
Does anyone have a hamster in 2024?
I don't know.
There'll be the odd guinea pig around. I think even guinea pigs are a bit out of fashion, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
But I talked to a guinea pig breeder, someone who puts them through shows, but I don't think... Is any child asking for a guinea pig?
Yeah, they're out of fame. They were very 80s. But anyway, someone will have one. Jesse, stop derailing me. what's your pet's name and why do you love it? Text me 2101.
Very good.
Your pet person? I am.
Are you? Well, I've got four kids. Do I need something else to worry about to get emotionally involved
with? You do not.
Yeah. Have you got one? As Wallace Jr. started asking you about one.
We have had a pet called Banjo for 8 years.
Really?
It's the soul of our whānau. I didn't want a pet.
Yeah.
Banjo came along to our lives, a little Yorkshire Terrier. And it's so gorgeous having a pet. And now I can relate what it means to have a pet. I really do.
How did Banjo feel when a newborn baby showed up in the house getting all the attention?
A bit jealous. A bit jealous.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. It's amazing how a pet, when you're a bit down, that little dog can really pick up your emotions.
Mm.
When my wife and I are having strong words, the dog comes in and intervenes, saying, settle down. You can see it in his eyes. Settle down, guys.
Maybe I could use a dog. Sam Hollis is with us. Hey, Sam.
Kia ora, guys.
Your peer group have guinea pigs growing up.
Not guinea pigs. We had a couple of rabbits, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe that kind of compares.
They're very hard to contain.
Shout out to our flat cat, Ozzy, at the moment, though.
Oh,
our young
nice.
Kitten, Ozzy.
Guinea Pig Owners United. I'd love to hear from you on 2101, if you still exist. What's caught your eye today, Sam, in the course of producing the panel?
Well, I wanted to bring this to you guys, particularly because, you know, I've worked with you both for a couple of years now, and both of you are kind of, I think of you guys as exemplars of calmness, pretty much. Both of you, I can't really imagine you guys getting angry. So I wanted to bring this study out of Japan's Nagoya University. They've taken a look at the way people process anger. So specifically, they were trying to prove if particular ways of venting actually helps someone work out their anger and benefits them. So they basically had a bunch of angry students write down their frustrations and irritations on paper and then destroy them. And the results, they said, were astonishing. One of the lead researchers said, "We expected that our method would suppress anger to some extent. However, we were amazed that anger was eliminated almost entirely." So this is a great technique by the sounds of it.
period.
Makes total sense to me.
Well, just as a side note on that, writing things down, I've got a bit of a personal story on that, because when I used to be, I was on a walking stick much in my 20s, and sometimes the pain would get quite great. In fact, great enough that I couldn't really concentrate, and I'd be at home just going, what am I going to do? So I'd revert to pen and paper. And in some really dark times, the act of writing it down and popping it away was actually quite cathartic,
yeah,
and
like
the pain
that.
Levels would reduce. So going back to your research, Sam, that kind of illustrates that, doesn't it? That act of writing has qualitative results.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And what you've actually done there, Wallace, is part of a Japanese cultural tradition. So there they call it hakidashisara. I highly doubt I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's my best
guess. Sounded pretty good, yeah. I think, by the way, Japanese is R-E-E-O-U, much like Māori. So if you've got te reo sorted pronunciation, you've probably got Japanese.
There we go. Well, in that case, I nailed it. Well done, me. But what they do there is they go to, there's a shrine just outside of Nagoya where visitors come and they smash these small discs, basically plates, that represent things that make them anger. And that's kind of the idea that launched this study. And I think basically what you've done with your example there was,
and they've
basically tried to back this long-standing cultural
tradition
with
something.
Scientific proof. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're dead right. You're onto something.
Can I ask, Sam, is it the writing down of your gripe or the tearing up of the paper that...
Yes.
Creates the release.
Like, it seems like it's the tearing up because, well, I'll explain it by going through how they conducted the experiment, maybe, because it is quite fascinating. Mm. So basically, the researchers first got a bunch of students together, and they needed to try and trigger angry feelings in them. So what they did is they asked them to write down opinions on social issues that they were told would then be evaluated. But the evaluations they received back, everyone was scored low on intelligence, logic, and rationality. And they also all included the comment, I cannot believe an educated person would think like this. I hope this person learns something while at the university. And then, so they handed these comments back to all the students and then took a measurement of their anger levels.
Right.
Then that's when they asked them to write down their thoughts on the feedback they got, and they had the option to either destroy it by shredding it or throwing it in the bin or saving it. And it was the ones who shredded it that they found returned essentially to their initial state of comfort. So it seems like that act of violent destruction actually added something to the calming effect that it had.
Is that something you could relate to, Jesse? You know, writing down, I didn't like that Freaky Friday, putting it in a bowl and burning it?
You know what it did make me think of is often in my life I've had a negotiation of some sort. Let's say it's an employment negotiation and the boss says we're going to offer you this much. And I craft this big, long email about all the reasons I'm worth more than that. And I write it all down. It takes me like an hour. And I finally get it all. And I send it off to the boss. And the boss comes back and said, no, we're still offering you the same money. I go, yeah, it's fine. I've said my bit.
I do that exact thing as well. I've written so many emails that I never intend to send.
Yeah.
Here's my little stress fantasy. Mm. I've always wanted to, you've probably done this because these might be in your hometown, Jesse. Mm. Going to a smash palace, getting a sledgehammer and just smashing up a vacuum cleaner or an old car in a yard. You know? Just letting it out, letting loose, getting a hammer and hitting a TV.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that. And, you know, Japan is known as a country where people are quite restrained. They spend their whole lives being restrained. And so you could see perhaps why the opportunity to have a bit of an outlet like this might help. But New Zealand's a bit like that as well. We're discouraged from showing much passion or anger or outwardly expressing our emotions. So maybe there'd be a market for that.
That could be a venture that you and I get into, getting up our own smash palace, GC, getting a couple of old Ford Holden Monaros.
Yeah, this negotiation doesn't work out, I'll give you a call. Yeah. Sam, thank you. Love that. And I guess the lesson for people listening is, you know, if they do have something on their mind, try writing it down and tearing it up to see if it helps.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon, how about I ship you guys a bunch of china and then tomorrow, 3:45, we'll have a smash-up session in the studio and we'll see what effect that has on you guys.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Wal. Wal's back, 6 p.m. for the panel hour. Grant says, Jesse, Perhaps you missed it, but your colleague Lisa recently interviewed a young man who was in the running to claim his 17th guinea pig of the year.
Heard that.
He also judges, I'm a good listener, RNZ listener. He also judges guinea pig competitions and leads New Zealand's guinea pig fanciers clubs. They don't call it that, I'm sure. I think you would enjoy him, says Grant. Lots of people getting in touch about their own animals as well.
So thank you.
We'll get Wal to review those and go through them after 6 o'clock. And thanks for listening to Afternoons today. If you'd like to hear any of these interviews again, you can head to the website rnz.co.nz/Jesse. We had a good one with Sandra Edge today for our New Zealand sporting history segment. The greatest netball centre the world has ever seen, according to some critics. And you can look that one up for a little bit of listening podcast style later on in your evening. Right now, time to head over to Checkpoint, Lisa Owen and the team.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.